Support for NPR podcasts comes from MasterCard, accepted worldwide. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard.
The votes are in. NPR listeners have picked the best CDs of 2006. From NPR Music, you're connected to a special call-in chat edition of All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. We'll sort through thousands of votes today as we count down the year's 10 best CDs. This year seems different from the past. Never have I seen such a wide range of artists. It all seems so fractured. There's less consensus, more variety, more bands people can call their own. Those are the ones that have made it to the top of our list. Over the past month, we've asked you to pick the one CD you fell in love with this year and why. So today, we'll share those picks with four music-loving journalists in New York City. Robert Christgau, he's a contributing editor for Rolling Stone magazine. He's best known for his Consumer Guide column, where he began publishing the letter-graded capsule album reviews in 1969. Robert also now writes for music reviews for All Things Considered. Greetings, Robert.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fine. I've been going through so many lists and CDs and songs. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I'm in Washington, D.C. You're at a table with two other good friends. Will Hermes, he's there as well. He's a contributor to NPR's All Things Considered. He writes for Spin Magazine, The New York Times, and Entertainment Weekly. Hey, Will.
Hiya, Bob.
And Meredith Oakes, she's a host of Sirius Satellite Radio's Outlaw Country Channel. She's a contributing editor for Guitar World Magazine, a regular contributor to NPR's All Things Considered as well. And she also sings vocals for the rock band The Damn Lovelies. Hey, Meredith.
Howdy.
So that's in New York. And going over to the West Coast in Seattle at NPR member station KEXP is John Richards. He's a morning DJ at KEXP. He's also the station's associate program director and all-time personal favorite DJ of our producer, Robin Hilton. Hey, John.
Oh, that's awfully nice. Great to be here.
Well, it's good to meet you. This is our first time together. We have a lot of ground to cover. We have a top 10 list. Now, a top 10 list usually has 10 songs, but we sort of have a baker's dozen or so. We had a tie for the number 10, and so we're going to throw a little monkey wrench into the day's show. We're going to ask you, I'm going to tell you what the three are that are tied for. And we got thousands and thousands of votes, and they all had the exact...
It's a three-way tie for last.
So here they are. The three at the bottom of the top 10 list are The Hold Steady and Boys and Girls in America is the name of the CD. Regina Spektor, Begin to Hope, and Beck, The Information. So the three at the bottom. Let's play a little first from, let's say, Beck, and then we'll come back, and we'll tell you how we're going to break this tie during the course of the show. So, of the four of you who are there, I'm going to ask you four to vote. That's one way we're going to break the tie, but the other way we're going to break the tie is during the course of the show, this next hour or so, we're going to ask every listener who calls us to tell us how they would vote for one of those three records. Who there, either in New York or Seattle, will take the Beck record as their vote?
That's very democratic.
Yeah, ooh. I think so.
You got three choices, folks. You've got to take one of them.
Well, I know. I'm taking the Hold Steady.
Okay.
So, how about you, Will?
I'd have to go with the Hold Steady as much as I love the Regina Spektor record. And I like the Beck record, too.
I do, too.
I was going to go with the Hold Steady, but now I feel like I have to go with Beck because you two are like the Hold Steady. All right. Never mind. I'll make it a triumvirate Hold Steady for me, too.
Well, let's give a listen to the Hold Steady, and we'll hold off on John's vote. And we'll see where we head. Let's listen to some of the Hold Steady. The record this year is called Boys and Girls in America. And the song we're going to hear is Stuck Between Stations. It's the opening cut to the CD. ¶¶
that South Paradise was right. Boys and girls in America, they're such a sad time together. Sucking off each other at the demonstrations, making sure they make us straight. Crushing one another with colossal expectations, depending on discipline, sleep, and weight.
I don't know if I'm allowed to vote or not, but John.
You may have to.
John,
you know, it's. It was funny because as soon as everybody started saying back, immediately I wanted to say, no, Regina Spektor, I'm voting for Regina Spektor. And I looked down at my top 10 list in front of me, and Regina's not on it, and Beck is. So that tells you how top 10 lists go. You can change day to day.
They do change day
to day. I think I still have to go with Beck. I love the Hold Steady. I mean, it would be a very – on my list, it would have been about number 11 or 12. Wouldn't have been tied.
I think we're all in the same boat with the listeners, where the bottom of that list is sort of packed with a lot of things we like. And for me, it's what I listened to last maybe that helps decide it. Is there some overall arching thing that we could say about this year? I called it fractured. Will Hermes?
Well, you know – old people did really, really well this year. Looking
that's just because we're all older.
I know. I had a Doc Ten, I mean, knock Dylan out of my top 10.
My top 10 is full of people over 40 and 50.
Oh,
even
Dylan.
Todd Snyder is 40.
Neil Young, true. Springsteen, Ornette Coleman, New York Dolls, even Beck. Beck's 36.
Right. Even Ghostface Killah is about 35.
Ghostface
right?
is 36.
Jay-Z's 36.
as Jay-Z said, 30 is the new 20 on his new record.
Because he's 36.
Yeah, exactly. Although I think it might be 40 or 50 coming up as the new 20. So that's one thing
so
I noticed.
So old things. Old people, John Richards in Seattle?
I don't have as many old people on my list. They're a bit young. I have some Northwest bands. I'm a little biased up here in the Northwest. I do have that. My list seems... It seems, as always, the independent labels and a lot of the independent bands seem to be making more interesting music, I think, especially when I look at my top 10. I don't see as much hip-hop as I usually have in my list this year, unfortunately. I was kind of bummed about that. But I think overall, seeing bands like up here, the Decemberists and the Long Winters and Band of Horses, and there's a lot of good... pop up here.
I'm going to read John's list. Do you have your list in front of you, John?
I do.
Okay, walk us backwards from 10 to 1 on your top 10 list.
Well, number 10, I had a band out of New York called Pablo, and maybe would be considered one of those bands that not a lot of people know about, at least outside of the KXP listening audience. But Paul Shalda heads this band. It's a whole family of musicians. I was in New York recently doing the show, and his father actually joined us and played harmonica. So maybe he can join us in the older category.
And number 9,
Pablo.
Let's walk up the list to number 1.
9, we had Beck. At number 8, I had Silver Sun Pickups.
Oh, just tell me quickly, where are they from?
Silver Sun Pickups. They are a band out of California. They sound a lot like Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay.
Right, get compared to them probably way too often, but they sound a lot like
number
them.
Seven.
Beirut is number 7. Zach Condon, very young man at about 20 years old, genius, very worldly musician. It's fantastic. A lot of different instrumentation throughout the record. Big hit with our listeners. The Roots was my only hip hop album this year at number 6. Game Theory. Long Winters out of Seattle, Washington at number 5. I had TV on the Radio at number 4. And Decemberists at number 3. Great Portland band that made most lists, I think, that I look around and see. Same with Band of Horses, best thing to come out of Seattle this year, off their Sub Pop album, Everything All the Time, which is just a fantastic debut. And the Black Angels were my number 1, a band out of Austin. And not on a ton of lists, but definitely on mine. My favorite record of the year by far.
Well, that's
on a Portland. They're on a Portland label, right? The Black Angels.
Light in the Attic's actually a Seattle label, so there's an action here.
Yeah. Right,
Light in the Attic
reissue
put out.
Label too.
Nice Fellas.
Yeah,
Light in the Attic.
Very heavily Velvet Underground influence. I think they even got their name, the band name, from a Velvet Underground.
All right,
Black Angels,
that
death
song.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it.
Let's hear some music.
Drone-y.
Yes, very much so.
I like them.
Loud and droney.
We love that up here in Seattle. You know, we like the dark, droney music up here.
Yeah.
Black Angels of CDs called Passover. John Richards of KEXP, his favorite CD of the year. We are going through the top 10 CDs that the NPR listeners picked, and we have a tie for number 10. So we're asking you to call us in and help us vote for that. It's between Beck, Regina Spektor, and the whole Steady. But we do have a certain number 9. Number 9 was Tom Waits. The Tom Waits record called Orphans is a 3-CD set.
Good.
Yeah. Late-breaking winner.
Good.
Yeah. Another old guy.
Yeah.
We love the old guys.
It's a great Tom Waits record.
Yeah.
I thought three CDs worth of Tom Waits.
Oh, I'm so glad you think so. You know, a lot of people just assumed it was going to be, you know, because there are a lot of, like, old tracks on it, but not most. I think it's possibly the best record he's ever made. Possibly. Yeah.
Yes, and yeah, sitting down and going through disc by disc, it is strong. He does a lot of interesting covers, a couple of Ramones.
That's
covers.
Right. And also there's six spoken word pieces on the last disc, which are really great, just so great. That one about the Pontiac.
The Pontiac, he's imitating his brother-in-law. It's a hilarious bit. What should we listen to? Let's listen to a cut from Tom Waits. We got queued up Bottom of the World. Let's listen to Bottom of the World.
My daddy told me, looking back, the best friend you have is a railroad track. So when I was 13, I said, I'm rolling my own, and I'm leaving Missouri, and I'm never coming home. Lost in the bottom of the world, I'm hanging up to the bishop in the barbershop line. I'm lost in the bottom of the world.
Tom Waits, 3 CDs, Ballers, Brawlers, and Bastards, I think is it. He named each one of the CDs. When people voted for over the course of this month, voted for the best CDs, we asked them why they thought it was the best CD. Chantal is here to read some of our listeners' picks and why Tom Waits came out to be the number 9 CD.
Well, we had several insightful comments from listeners discussing the Waits trilogy Orphans. One example is how Nick noticed how this triple CD is representative chronology of Tom Waits' works. He wrote in saying that these CDs in the past, present, and future of American recording musics with Waits' signature twist. It spans several musical genres from traditional Appalachian folk songs to avant-garde spoken work pieces, with all sorts of rockers, ballads, and grooves in between. Meanwhile, listener Alan had a different interpretation of the crooner's latest work. To Limit sounded as if all of the skeletons and dust bunnies and all of the missing socks from Tom's closet are trotted out to stand in the light. And they don't just stand. They dance and bellow and lie and break your heart.
That's great. It's beautiful. The comments that we got, thousands and thousands of votes, the comments were paragraphs and paragraphs of wonderful stuff about some really amazing records. We have a call. This is from, this is Alan. Alan is in Dallas, Texas.
Hello.
Greeting, Alan.
Greetings, folks.
Well, do you have before you get to the reason you called, we're asking everybody who's calling to either pick us our number 10 song, because we're stuck here. Hold Steady, Regina Spektor, or the Beck record. Have you heard any of those records?
I've heard probably more of the Beck than any of the others.
Okay, so you may take the Beck as a vote.
I would probably cast a vote for Beck.
Okay, so your favorite record this year?
Oh, by far, Modern Times, Bob Dylan.
Huh. That's I've been surprised.
You're not the only one.
Yes, Bob Dylan rates in this poll, I think, very strongly.
I somehow feel we're going to be seeing him up top somewhere.
I'm sorry, what?
I think we'll see him up top somewhere. Yeah. I don't know where.
Well, I'll tell you where you'll see him. You'll see him come Grammy time, getting the award.
What was it about this record that, let's say, the three records in the last 10 years, what was it about this record that really...
Well, I'll tell you what, I was a huge Love and Theft and Time Out of Mind fan,
yeah.
And I was really anxious to see how Bob was going to at least try to equal those outings. And when Modern Times came out, I was thoroughly impressed and pleased with the consistency. There's not a throwaway track on that album. And I think lyrically, he's still on as always. I think he's got a great band. I just think the way the whole album was produced. In fact, I think that's a real strong point of that album is the production that Bob did on it and the way his vocals are really out front. And the band seems to have a great balance to it.
I love the drummer on that record. That's my favorite part of the record. I like the record a lot, but the drummer
I like the guitars a lot.
Yeah. It's a great band record. Yeah, it's a great band record.
Yeah. Have you guys seen this, the current tour? Have any of y'all been to the tour?
I've missed
it. I've seen him in a few months. The last time I saw him, I wasn't too impressed. But
how about you?
But I don't know. Anybody else?
I haven't seen him in a while.
The band that he has now, of course, Bob, you know, in his article in Rolling Stone said it's the best band he's ever had, which is a real interesting statement. But Denny Freeman and, of course, Tony Garnier, who's been with him forever. But
Who is the drummer? What's the name of the drummer?
George Rosilli is the drummer.
He is good.
George is great. And, of course, Donnie Herron, who's doing a lot of the multiple instrumentation, you know, banjo and steel guitar and those type of things. But great band live. And I just think it's a great album, and I'm not going to be at all surprised if it gets Album of the Year when the Grammys roll around.
Well, stay tuned and see where it falls on the NPR listener picks of Top 10, and we'll play some Bob Dylan a little bit later.
Enjoying the show.
Thank you. Thanks for doing this.
All right.
So just to remind you, we have a chat room open. There's a link on the page. You can open up and join our chat as well. And you can call us at 800-989-9977. We are counting down NPR's listener picks for the top 10, and we are stuck on number 10 because there's three runners going there. It's Beck, Regina Spektor, and the whole study. They all have the same amount of votes. But number 8 was clear winner. The number 8 CD is Jenny Lewis, a wonderful CD called Rabbit Fur Coat. Everybody, I assume, has heard Rabbit Fur Coat on our
panel.
Made
my top 10 of the year.
Yep. She's a...
Yeah, it was down toward the bottom. I have about a top 75 so far. It was down toward the bottom, and it rose to about 50 places when I played it again. I hadn't played it in a while, and it sounded great.
It was my album of the year when it came out in January.
Yeah, exactly. I had it on my list early, too. Yeah,
the problem with putting a record out that early.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
She's such a great lyricist.
She's
very
wonderful.
Wry.
Former child actor and singer of Rilo Kiley. Very much loved. Great. I just love, she has this very like plaintive way of singing, but she has an incredible voice somehow.
Let's give a listen to The Charging Sky.
If I run uphill, I'm out of breath. If I spend all of my money, then I've got no money left. If I place all of my chips on only one bed, and it's a surefire bet I'm gonna die. So I'm taking up praying on Sunday nights. And it's not that I believe in your almighty, but I might as well as insurance or faith. These institutions like a big bright light, and it blinds you into fearing, consuming and fighting. But in the desert underneath the charge, it's just you and God. But what if God's not there, but his name is on your dollar bill, which just became cafe for the evangelists, the communists, and the lefts and the rights, and the
in LA, right?
It is really lyrically just a fun record to listen to. We did an interview with her when we did a live webcast, which you can listen to online, of her. And her songs sound completely autobiographical, but like any great storyteller, she picks and pulls from all different sorts of stuff and has quite a good time with it.
She also got the Watson twins, these singing girls from Kentucky. You know, she's kind of headed south like Cat Power and like, I guess, who else? Maybe it's just the two of them, but it just seems like there are a lot of indie ladies doing this year where they put their sort of idiosyncratic vocals in this very...
kind of a Dusty Spring.
Yeah, they want to do their Dusty in Memphis record.
Like Joanna Newsom.
Joanna Newsom, yeah.
Right down to the south, into the groove. There she went.
Well, Meredith, since you had it on...
Oklahoma.
Since you had Jenny Lewis on your top 10 Meredith Oakes, why don't you count your top 10 backwards for us, and we'll pick. There were two things on your list that were curious for me, but let's go through the list and we'll pick a song.
Only two?
Well, I mean, two that I don't think in any way, shape, or form we're going to cover today. And,
okay.
Or that we've never covered on our show. So
the fact that the Jenny Lewis is at number 10 is a no reflection, you know, that it, I think I like it the least. You know, it's just there. Rabbit Fur Coat, Tom Petty, Highway Companion, which I like because it's a road album that does not idealize the road. It doesn't make it seem like so romantic to be on the road because being on the road sucks. And if you have ever been on the road, you know it's true. And I like that sort of melancholy, not sepia-toned idea of it.
And another old guy.
Another old guy. I love the old guys. They make good music.
Awesome.
Or they did this year anyway. Jim Noir, you know how many power pop bands embrace the Beatles? He's done it with the Beach Boys and added all the sort of cheesy
keyboards.
This is
a guy from Manchester, right?
Yeah. Same town as Morrissey.
And Herman
wears
Terminus.
A bowler hat. Very precious. But I like him anyway. Bruce Springsteen, the Seeger Sessions, I loved. I find it, I love
the old guys. Keep going.
Another old guy. I love that music, but I just can't listen to Pete Seeger. I can't, I find it very hard to listen to. This put it in a setting where I really enjoyed it. The Gourds, great Austin, Texas band. This is their 9th record. They just keep making out these great, crazy, sort of bluegrass, sort of jammy, sort of Zydeco records, an amazing band. Nico Case, just one of my favorite singers ever,
so
I think. And she gets better with every record. Fox Confessor brings the flood. Johnny Cash, American Five, 100 Highways.
Overly old man.
Oh, well, yeah. I think there's going to be an American Six next year. I think he's just going to keep, Rick Rubin's just going to keep releasing
totally,
this stuff.
Literally, there is.
His son found all those
tapes.
That stuff came out, too.
He hit the Billboard Top 10 with this record, which is just, Johnny Cash is like eternal. He's Elvis now. I mean, I think he's just about up there.
Dead Elvis.
Dead, maybe. Solomon Burke, I have this soft spot in my heart for country and R&B, and Solomon Burke did it very early in the 60s and never really got his due. Here he is in Buddy and Julie Miller's house with all these really cool Nashvillians, all the great session players like Kenny Vaughan, the songwriters like Paul Kennerly, and he sings with Dolly Parton on this record. So
another one that went south.
Yeah. Well, The Decemberists, we talked about that a little bit. And the top one, Eccentric Soul Volume 7, which is Numero Group, this label that puts out unbelievable soul compilations, just really digs and finds these treasures, these buried treasures. Volume 7 is the Deep City label. It's the Miami, Florida label. The Rhythm Section was
Florida A&M.
Yeah, the incomparable Marching 100 band.
Unbelievable band.
And that it just provides the rhythm for this whole thing, and it kind of set the stage for TK Records and the disco era to come in Florida.
Right.
An amazing find.
Timmy Thomas out of that scene also.
That's right.
Betty Wright
Listen to some of that, the Eccentric Soul. I don't think that's probably on, it certainly was, it didn't get any votes from the NPR listeners, and I think it's worthy of listening to. Let's listen to a song called Am I a Good Man?
The Florida Incomparable Marching 100.
Wow, them too.
The Rhythm Section, anyway. These are, by the way, not band geeks. I mean, this band would have kicked the asses of the entire football team. They were so badass. They would fly through the air, do these acrobatics in the Florida heat with all those heavy uniforms on. Imagine.
Whoa. So what's the year of the recording of this? Is it late 60s? Where are we at?
Late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, the Solomon Burke, all the other ones we mentioned, the folks that went south, we mentioned Cat Power. And as we go down and tick off the top 10, we have number 9, which is Tom Waits. Denny Lewis is number 8. Number 7 is Cat Power. So let's give a listen to her updating of the Memphis Sound. Well, sort of updating of the Memphis Sound, but certainly a twist on the Memphis Sound we haven't quite ever heard before. Let's listen to a cut from Cat Power. Just did a show with her at the 9:30 Club, and she mesmerized the audience. That music,
she didn't
too.
Cry and weep and fall on the floor.
Well, she leave the stage.
The last song of the show, I'm standing off to the side of the stage and have a microphone in my hand where she does the last song, and she says she tries to play the song all by herself without the band, and she definitely messes it up, and she says, "I suck" to the audience. She just, you know, and she turns around and she puts her guitar down and she walks off stage, and I am off stage with a live mic, but she doesn't know that, and I start saying something like, you know, oh, Cat Power, she seems so confident the whole show until the last song, and she comes up to me and she gives me this huge hug and she says, oh, I'm so sorry, I effed it up, I just couldn't and I didn't have the heart to tell her that the microphone that she was next to was live.
Wow.
And she goes off and she takes these flowers, she says, oh, I forgot the flowers, and she took these flowers over to the side of the stage, walks back onto the stage, and one by one just starts tossing flowers to the people in the audience.
So, Bob, why? We were talking about this before. Why are people so charmed by a meltdown? You know, why do people love her?
I think it's the tension. I think it's the not knowing. I think
that,
I mean, it's the
possible meltdown.
That's right. It's a polar opposite of, let's say, something like Kraftwerk, where you know it's all going to happen just right. You know, it's just nothing's going to go wrong. And I think there is something to be desired when you go to see an artist. You have not a clue what's going to happen. Is this going to be a great night? Is this going to be a lousy night? And people are willing to plunk down like a horse race money just to, you know, see the best show she's ever done or have a story to tell their friends the next week.
Yeah, I'd seen her a number of times where she just melted down. In fact, I never saw a show where she was able to finish the show, literally.
I will never see her because I know there's a chance that she is going to melt down, and who needs
yeah.
it?
Well,
I never, have, never, never.
I'd go home if I want to see that, you know?
I agree.
I got a 6-year-old who can show me that every night. No, but this year, I mean, in addition to making what I think is probably the best record she made to date, she went through some personal things. She was in a hospital for a while. She went through rehab, and she cleaned up after
for
alcohol and pills. And she was drinking pretty heavily, and she cleaned up. And I saw her do a show at Town Hall here in New York. And again, it was the tension of seeing an artist who normally struggles with, you know, with stage fright and presenting her music. The fact that she got through the whole show and then got through the encore perfectly, it was like, you know, it was like a championship performance. You know, somebody else who would have no trouble doing that.
Yeah, fun to cheer it
on. Yeah, she
has a remarkable voice. There are more remarkable voices in the world than there are hours to hear them, but she does have a remarkable voice, and she is very good looking.
That doesn't hurt.
And I don't think it hurts at all.
We did have listeners when they voted. They had picks they had comments for us, and Chantal's going to read us some comments on Cat Power.
Sure. One of our listeners, Jack Klein, explains why he voted for Cat Power as the number one artist of the year. In his email, he says, in her latest album, recorded in Memphis with a host of veteran soul and R&B musicians, this is a giant leap, recorded forward to the ever-intriguing songwriter. It's sad, it's hopeful, lovelorn and romantic. It's regretful and sweet. Marshall's voice and lyrics convey emotions and feelings that most songwriters can only pay lip service to. Quiet but confidently, Marshall indeed delivered the greatest album in 2006. Meanwhile, we'll have confessions from a Cat Power fans, which I know many of you are. One of them,
wasn't a fan? He was one of the non-fans.
Well, in comparison to some of the other albums, Dina Lombardi writes in that even though she is a longtime fan, this is a totally different incarnation of Cat Power's work. Her collaboration with the Memphis Rhythm Band, plus the changes in her life during the recording of this album, are all expressed in the music, as recorded and performed live. It's a mature, complete, and lovely record, but also as raw and vulnerable as any Cat Power work.
That's great. And Shawn Marshall is just, she just had this idea. I mean, when a record label came to her and said, okay, so what kind of record would you like to make? She was sort of down and out, and she said, I'd like to work with the Memphis Horns and the Memphis, with Teenie Hodges and so forth. Teenie Hodges, a co-writer, worked with Al Green.
And on the Ann Peebles records, too, which I really loved.
Helped her Take Me to the River. So far, we're up to number 6, and let's just play it because it'll be unmistakable to those when we play our number 6 record.
The meadowlark and the chimtree and the sparrow set to the sky in a flying spree for the sport of the pharaoh. Little while later, the Pharisees dragged a comb the meadow. Do you remember what they called up to you and me in our window?
There's well, Will Hermes. We sat around a
no.
We sat around a table similar to this one. Oh, not
and
so long ago.
And I was defending her. I was defending her.
And I was. I was,
and you were
I was,
down.
I was the doubter. I was
I
an absolute doubter.
And
you put it in your top 10 at the end of the year, and I listened to this record. I decided I had to make up my mind about it, and I hated it. Just hated it. I was so angry that I had to sit there trying to find out if there was a single lyric that interested me on the entire record by reading them. And then I went back to the other record, and I found this quatrain from the Milk-Eyed Mender. And the signifieds butt heads with the signifiers, and we all fall down slack-jawed to marvel at words, while across the sky sheet the impossible birds in a steady, illiterate movement homewards. Now, I think that is a superb piece of poetry, and I found nothing remotely that good on this record of supposedly true tales and certainly long tales.
And I think we forgot to say that we're talking about Joanna Newsom. For those who are lost in whatever they were thinking about, Joanna Newsom, the record is called Ys, which is Y-S.
And, it's Celtic.
Quite a production.
Very
with Van Dyke
Celtic.
Parks and strings and arrangements around
she
that
has everybody. She has
Jim O'Rourke and Steve Albini.
Yes, Steve Albini recorded
Albini.
It. Jim O'Rourke did the mix on it, and Van Dyke Park did the arrangements. And I have to say, this record is kind of an acquired taste. I look at it sort of like sea urchin. Like, it's the kind of thing that people who don't like it are not going to like it. I love it, but it's not necessarily something I want to have for dinner every day. But a beautiful record, 5 songs on the whole thing, each one hovering around the 10-minute mark and some of them going quite a bit longer than that, with melodies that are just as distended as you might expect from the length of the songs. But to me, it really, I didn't love it at first, but the more I listened to it, the more I fell into it. And her tour recently was even more remarkable because she recreated a lot of these orchestral arrangements with a small band and did a pretty great job of it.
Well, it really made me want to hear Karen Dalton And, you know, the Karen Dalton record was reissued by, I think
Light
it was Light in the Attic,
Attic,
right?
Same.
In my own time.
Yeah.
And when I went
Black
back and listened Angels, to Karen Dalton, yeah. then I didn't want to hear Joanna Newsom anymore. But then the more I listened to it also, I liked it a little, you know, it grew on me.
My experience with it was playing it on my show. I played it once, and after getting death threats, I decided it was time to. I believe it was, if you ever play that again.
She does evoke those reactions. I think that.
She does.
And she's such a nice
people
girl.
People were angry.
We had a nice conversation here that you can hear online.
Every reason to believe she's a nice girl. It's nothing to do with it.
And it is really a unique record, and our listeners found it, the number 6 record. The Hold Steady, Regina Spektor, and Beck right now are tied for number 10. So call us and vote. Number 9 is Tom Waits. Number 8 is Jenny Lewis. Cat Power's number 7. Joanna Newsom's number 6. We get to the top 5, and this is a pick that John Richards in KEXP in Seattle picked. Let's listen to a little TV on the Radio.
Marching band. There you go.
It is a great, it's a great beginning.
Yeah, the sample is great. Yeah, he's quite
a producer. Is it a sample?
I was a lover before this war.
You know, actually, it might.
Loving a luxury suite behind a well-barricaded door. Now that I've cleaned up.
Andy Ballas.
Go on, legends. I can see clearly.
I don't think there's a polar opposite of Joanna Newsom in that record right there.
Oh, wait, her next record has to be with TV on the Radio.
Why is that a polar opposite? They're both very classically influenced. I find them rather similar. They're both real prog records.
They are proggy in their way. They are.
Which I believe is the big thing that's happening in alt-rock these days.
Yeah. Certainly the Decemberists.
Excess. And I love it.
I find them... and also very, very, TV on the Radio have a very, very insistent vision, which I got into that record earlier today. I really worked on it. I've played it at least 10, 12 times. And I finally began to really sort of take its gravity seriously because I thought the music justified it. It's a very dark record.
It's very dark. The singers I quite like do a lot of interesting things. I mean, they're drawing a lot from soul and doo-wop and even, you know, Beach Boys kind of vocal harmonies. But I think the guy who really pulls that together is Dave Sitek, who's both the producer and the guitarist. And it's really a headphone record. It's the production on it is remarkable. It's on the 4AD label in the UK, and you could sort of tell that they're obsessed with that sort of sound of those 4AD bands, the Cocteau Twins and Lush. They were all very drony.
They're a very political band, too. A lot of people.
And
there's a lot of messages in there. Very political. And visually, they're the coolest band out there. There's no cooler band.
What's
their
show like? I've not seen them.
No one has than Kip Mulgrew.
Yeah, well, I'm a fan of afros. And at one point when I saw them live, they had everybody in the audience take their keys out of their pocket. And if you can get anybody in Seattle to do anything at a show, it's impressive. But everybody got their keys out and started shaking them along to the beat. And I've never seen anything like it. It was quite a sight.
Good.
And,
a new move. I always love it when they come up with a new move. That's a new move.
Yeah, it beats
something you think people would have done. Yeah.
Has anyone seen, anyone had any real pleasant surprises this year? A record that you thought wouldn't get you and did?
Regina Spektor.
Regina's
by
record.
Far. Yeah. Not a fan. Could not stand anything she'd done up to this point at all. And this one, I judged her. I'm not even going to listen to this. And I was just blown away. I thought it was such a good record compared to the past work.
A really fun record. Really upbeat and wonderful.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
Anybody
else? Songwriting really took a jump.
I wouldn't say there's anything that startled me I thought it was going to be bad and it was good. But there are certainly things I thought would be slight that were really good. The Fats Domino record that's only available from tepatinas.org online.
I haven't heard that.
Which I thought was actually the best record he'd made since he was making hits in the early 60s. I thought, well, this is an old guy, and it's The Flood and blah, blah. But it's wonderful, actually. And also my number 9 record, which I expected to be extremely slight, and ended up in my top 10.
Let's go through your top 10.
Let's do that. How about that? My number 10 record is Outkast Idlewild. I would say probably the most underrated record of the year. I actually prefer it to their previous record, the Sky Above. I think it's a complete, except for the last track, which is absolutely atrocious. Just turn it off. Sort of grindcore. It's awful. Yeah. But you know, it's already 72 minutes long at that minute, so you can turn them off. And the movie's underrated too. Then the number 9 record is The Klezmatics.
Now, who would think a Hanukkah record?
The Klezmatics, Woody Guthrie's Happy Joyous Hanukkah. Now, I put that record on because NPR wanted me to do a Christmas thing, and I thought, I'll throw a Hanukkah song in. That's a cool thing to do. I love this record. It's my Ramones record of the year.
Ramones record?
It's incredibly simple, bright, pop, fun stuff. Incredibly a brilliant record. A wonderful record. I saw them last night actually performing these songs. They were great. Number 8, Ghostface Killah, Fish Scale. Best cocaine rap record I've ever heard. Ornette Coleman, number 7. Sound Grammar, on the Sound Grammar label.
First record in a long time.
Speaking of old men, 76 years old, folks, came up with a new concept. He lets the string-based state melodic themes on ballads. Never heard anybody do that.
And I'm going to stop
Bowed bass.
Just for a minute, Robert, because of all of the lists, I've looked through thousands and thousands of votes over the last couple of weeks. I've seen everybody's list around this virtual table here. And Ornette Coleman was one of the very few jazz records. Before we talk about the Ornette Coleman record and play a little bit of it, the state of jazz records this year.
I can't speak to the state of jazz. I can only speak to the few geniuses I pay attention to, and then every once in a while something really gets me. There's a Norwegian trumpeter named Nils Petter Molvær who has 3 albums out right now. I haven't sorted them out yet, but I like them all.
On ECM. Yeah.
I like them all. Actually, he's now on Thirsty Ear. And you know, Sonny Rollins also put out a record, but as near as I can tell, it's just a really good Sonny Rollins record. Sonny Rollins is together with Ornette Coleman, our greatest jazz player.
Yeah, there weren't a whole lot of jazz records that grabbed me this year.
Well, yeah, but maybe if you were to play the 1,000 jazz records that came out on these tiny labels that don't send you records, you would find more.
I play a bunch of them.
It's impossible to keep. I mean, you know, it's hard enough to keep track of pop and then jazz, which I'm a big fan of. I don't feel myself obliged to play everything. That's a wonderful record. Ornette Coleman is. I mean, he's just.
Let's give a listen to some more Ornette Coleman. It's from a CD called Sound Grammar. The tune we're going to hear is called Jordan. Ornette Coleman, the CD is called Sound Grammar. Robert, Chris Gow's picks. Go up your list real quick, Robert, then we're going to get to another one on the NPR listener picks.
Okay, 6, Maria Muldaur's Heart of Mine, Love Songs of Bob Dylan. 5, Sonic Youth's Rather Ripped, terrific record that young people think is not good. My Sex Pistols record of the year, Crunk Hits Volume 2, my favorite hip-hop record by far. John, I recommend it. I'm sure you haven't listened to it. It's on TBT.
I have.
You have? Okay, yes. I'm sorry. I take that back. Todd Snyder, The Devil You Know on New Door. Bob Dylan, Modern Times, number 2, and my favorite album, which became my favorite album after I saw them play just before Thanksgiving. New York Dolls, One Day It Will Please Us to Remember Even This. They are my favorite band, but I thought this record wasn't quite as good as the first two. It is When I interviewed when I interviewed Johansson, he complained that I'd only given it 4 stars. I said, "Come on," and he's right. It's a 5-star record.
It's so audacious.
It's every bit as good as the others. I love it, and I hope I get to talk about it later.
Well, let me remind you that the number 800-989-9977. And as we get calls in, trying to break this tie for our number 10 record, we have 3 number 10 records, folks. We can't have 3. We have the whole steady, Regina Spektor and Beck. We want you to call in. We still have a tie with all the calls we're getting. Some of them aren't making it to air, but we still have a tie. So please, I tell you which one I think you should vote for, but
Minneapolis.
This is totally up to you.
Help us out here.
New York City, help us out here. Bronx, help us out. So let's go to our next, we're counting down the NPR listener picks for the best ones. Let's go to what was on my list, my number one record. It's the number 4 record for NPR listeners. Let's give a listen to M. Ward, the song Poison Cup.
When one or two won't do, 'cause I want it all. And I sip or a spoonful won't do. No, I want it all. And I hope you know what I'm thinking of. I want all of your love. I mean all of your love. She said if love
a record Roy Orbison would be proud of. God, I love this record. Anybody else play this a bunch?
Oh, yeah. I did play it a bunch.
I played it a bunch in the past week because I knew you loved it.
And did you grow to love it at all, Robert?
I grew to like it a little bit.
Well, Robert, listen to it some more.
I listen to it a lot, Bob. Yeah.
Magic Trick is a song that
That Magic Trick is atypical of that record. That's certainly my favorite song on the record,
which explains
why I don't like the record that much, because it's not like the rest of the record.
John Richards, did that wind up on, I don't remember, did that wind up on your list at all, being a guy that's...
No, it was right on the edge. You know what, though? For me, I liked his other records better. Mm-hmm. So
that's what I hear a lot from folks.
He still should have been in the top 10. I shouldn't punish him for making good records. If that record stood on its own, it would have been in my top 10.
He's a busy guy.
But I punished
guy.
Him for his past.
He's a busy guy. Yeah, he's on that Jenny Lewis
Have you guys
record.
Seen him live? That's he's right. great live.
You know something, John? I've seen him live twice, and I thought he was... Matt, I love you dearly, but gosh darn.
He was bad?
I thought it was terrible. 2 terrible shows
why?
I've seen of him. Now.
I saw
well, why, John, why good? Bob, why bad?
Well, I saw one back. I saw one in Chicago recently that just... I thought was fantastic. The other shows were
engaged?
Really boring.
Was he engaged?
Yay. He was very, well.
You
I
can't
don't know,
tell that Matt's engaged. His hat's too far down
his
over his eyes.
His hat was over his eye, yeah.
Bob thinks not engaged.
Not only that.
I would fear not engaged.
I don't think his band, he was not engaged with his band. And look, it's one thing to come out with an attitude like, I'm just going to play these songs and you listen to them and I'm never going to talk to you. But it didn't seem like he cared what his band was doing. There was nothing sparked anybody else to do anything. And he is all about texture. His records are all about texture. It's probably why John likes the last few records more, because the texture, there's more space in there. These are more rock and rolly songs, and so there's less space to be had in these songs. But live, all that, much of that texture, all gone.
And yeah, so but in judging these records, best of 2006, I mean, is it fair to let the live show even enter into your consciousness?
Didn't enter into mine. I hated this. I didn't like his live shows.
I mean, either way.
Yeah, I don't know.
With Cat Power, for me, it totally did. Because I'm not one of the people who's charmed by spending $20 and having her leave after two songs. So I didn't vote for it because I just was so frustrated.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about that Cat Power show, but that was really kind of unfair because the item was the record, and I thought it was a beautiful.
And the
record.
I mean, when I saw the Dolls the night before Thanksgiving, what it did was to make me hear the songs at a different level. Then I went back to the record, and the songs which I'd always really liked, I liked even more because I'd concentrated on them in a different way. That's what a live show does for a record sometimes. Right. It just gives you a different dimension.
I'll just remind folks that I just found out that the Holt Steady are leading by one vote for number 10.
So Minneapolis represents.
I ask the Bronx. I was born next to you in a place called Brooklyn. Bronx, call us up. Show your support for Regina Spektor. Also, for those out there who want to support Beck, those are the three that are tied for number 10. Number 9 is Tom Waits. Number 8 is Jenny Lewis. Number 7 is Cat Power. 6 is Joanna Newsom. 5 is TV on the Radio. M. Ward. Chantel has just a few comments real quick about Matt Ward and his record. And then we'll go to the number 3 record.
M. Ward, we've definitely had several comments about him. One of the most interesting I found was by Ken Schrock. He writes telling us how the album carries the listener through beautifully crafted music that conjures up musical sounds of the post-war era of the late 1940s and the early 1950s, which I personally also found to be true. He also tells us how its many layers are interwoven and seem to provide the mind an opportunity to escape from today's rough and in-your-face musical landscape. Going to an oasis that is old yet fresh, all the while setting your foot tapping and head humming along. I cannot do justice to the recording in words, but even the vast array of musical choices available, I find this one unique, endearing, refreshing, and somehow on a separate level from everything else I listened to this past year.
Great. Now, we have 3 records left. I don't know what you all think it might be out there, but we're going to get to our number 3 record. We had a caller earlier who talked about this record. Let's give a listen to Mr. Bob Dylan.
Spirit on the water, darkness on the face of the deep. I keep thinking about you, baby, and I can't hardly sleep. I'm traveling by land, traveling through the dawn of the day. You're always on my mind.
Now, I have to say, I was really surprised to see this number 3. And anybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be number 1 here in New York, I think.
See, I didn't even think it would make the top 10.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Why?
Well, first of all, I didn't like it very much. I guess that's one reason.
Must be.
Yeah.
I thought the letter that person wrote in about M. Ward really was more applicable to the Dylan record.
Yeah.
But this was a great record. I mean, I listened to it at first. I thought, musically, this is really good. But I have to say, going back and poring over the lyrics, you know, I've been to St. Herman's Church, said my religious vows. I've sucked the milk out of 1,000 cows. One of the great Bob Dylan lines. And throughout the record, I mean, there are political songs, and Bob, you've been...
You know,
rated pretty high for you. Higher than the listeners.
I got the pork chop, she got the pie. That's my favorite line on the record.
I got the pork chop, she's got the pie. She ain't no angel, and neither am I.
And I actually love the way he steals all that Confederate poetry, which he does.
Right, that was a scandal.
Right, but I thought it was, I mean, if you look at what he actually did with it, it's very smart stuff. He puts it together with blues lines, same stanza. It's a really great ideas, and it's about sentiment. It's about a certain kind of sentiment. That's what he steals.
There were a number of records that I thought would make it to the top 10, and I'll give away now some of the things that didn't, that we thought maybe when we knew they were coming that might have. One was Thom Yorke, another Jack White's new band. We could rattle off a few more, right, folks that were sort of...
That was a disappointment.
Which one?
The Jack White record.
The Jack White record. I mean, it wasn't awful, but yeah. I mean, I thought, Jack White and that Benson fella, they both had their real problems and they could correct for each other, but they didn't.
They
continue to
have
the same problems.
They made a nice pop record.
Yeah, that's what a nice pop record is about the best description of it.
And the Thom Yorke record for folks?
Well, I don't like him to begin with.
I liked the record quite a lot when I was listening to it, and I found myself not going back to it all that often, except for that one song that has the very catchy
the
chorus with the F word.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't play.
You know, if it had been on their prospective list, then I would have been forced to listen to that one the way I was to so many of these other records, and maybe I would have. But I didn't have to pull that one out.
Yeah,
it's still ahead of me.
That Thom Yorke record was one of very few electronic pop records this year that weren't hip-hop records, and I thought that was interesting, although the Juana Molina record called Sun, which made my top 10, was also an electronic pop record. That was probably my favorite sort of
really crappy,
bleepy,
interesting record.
Yeah, bleepy.
Why don't you go through your top 10 for us, Will Hermes?
Sure. Let me see if I can remember. Working backwards.
Remember, Lupe Fiasco was your number 10. Bottom's not
yes.
right there.
Yeah, Lupe Fiasco, a young rapper from Chicago who... boy, you know, we talk about how top 10 lists change every day. I mean, I think he's made the hip-hop record of the year. Very fresh. The lyrical concerns are different. Kick Push was the big single from it, about a skateboarder. But my new favorite is the one about the kid who gets murdered by walking into a sort of a drug situation, which he was not really involved in, and then digs his way out of his coffin and up through the dirt. Anyway, you
and up
listen to the
nine.
Record. Lupe Fiasco, number 9, is number 10. Number 9 is The Coup, the other great hip-hop record this year, at least by my measure. Pick a Bigger Weapon on Epitaph. Boots Riley is the guy in The Coup, and he's a very smart and very funny and even kind of romantic
I've
rhymer.
Heard that one.
He's also very leftist.
He's very leftist.
He's a Marxist.
He doesn't get deep into Marxism on this particular record, although the song Baby Let's Have a Baby Before Bush Do Something Crazy I thought was one of my favorite sentimental songs of the year.
It's a bumper sticker.
It is. It's a long one.
And number 8.
But number 8, and again, a record which, if I measured purely by records that I listen to more than anything else, which isn't my sole criteria for rating records, the Nico Case, Fox Confessor Brings the Flood. So good. Juana Molina, as I mentioned before, was number 7. Is that where
it is?
Yeah, 7. Comets on Fire are a band out of Southern California who were... nominally connected to this sort of new psychedelic scene, the new psychedelic folk scene. These guys are not folky. They're a fierce psychedelic jam band. And,
epic tracks.
The record's
really
called
Long-Winded.
They're very long-winded, but boy, it's good long-winded. Ethan Miller and Ben Chasney, ferocious guitarists.
And number 5?
Number 5 is an African artist. Last year was a real great year for African pop. This year, a little bit less so, but Toumane Diabaté made a record last year with Ali Farka Touré that was an acoustic record.
A gorgeous record that was.
Acoustic guitar and kora, the African harp, called In the Heart of the Moon. This is Toumane Diabaté playing that harp, but with a it must be a 50-piece band.
I don't think it's that big, but it's big. It's a real big band.
It's huge, and maybe they're not all on the same track. Right. But
they had to fit them into the lobby of a hotel. It's the only place they could find. They couldn't find a studio big enough for this band, so they got a hotel in Mali and in Bamako.
Right, and it's so good. Some of it's acoustic chamber music, which is beautiful. Some of it's big band stuff, kind of a Monday funk, and there's even some old school African rumba on there too.
Let's listen to one of the cuts to give an idea. It's the only, I mean, again, jazz records and world music, hardly on the thousands of votes we got. So the chance to play Tumani Diabate on the show is just a pleasure. Let's listen to Africa Challenge. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned that things seem more fractured than ever, and the amount of different bands on the list was so much more than ever before. And this was also the year that we saw Tower Records go under. Connected?
You mean because people are getting their music from much more diverse sources?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's what was in my head.
You're going to buy all these records at Tower?
I know you can, but the way you find out about them, when you go to Tower, how did you pick your music? Maybe we're not fair people for that.
I don't think that any of us know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily connected, but I think they're certainly parallel events in a changing landscape of how people get their music. I mean, people who pick these songs, I don't think got any of this material. I mean, was the Dylan album played on the radio? Was Nico Case played on the radio?
TV commercial, I think, is where
Maybe at XPN.
Yeah, Jim Noir was on an ad that I saw and heard when I watched the World Cup over and over.
Whose song? He sang somebody else's song on that.
No, it was
his
record. Was it Eeny Meeny? I think it was Eeny Meeny. Okay.
Yeah,
he sang on some Bank of America card.
Yeah, for Adidas. It was an Adidas commercial.
But that isn't how people... I mean, that's certainly one important source these days, but it's not definitive either.
Yeah, Cat Power did a great version of Hanging on the Telephone for Verizon.
That's is that right. True?
Very true. Never released, I am sure.
So when is Joanna Newsom going to do her TV commercial?
Very soon,
I would imagine.
Give her time.
Even Steve Earle is selling light-duty trucks now. Yeah.
Wow. I hope they run on Willie Nelson's special ethanol diesel mix.
Oh, I hope so.
800-989-9977. We're down to two records. Where are we after the whole steady count and the Regina Spektor and the Beck count, the number 10 record, which we were tied for? Yeah.
Oh, hey, should I finish up my top 10?
Yeah. Come on.
I'll just spit it out. Joanna Newsom coming in at number 4, Cat Power at number 3, okay. TV on the Radio at number 2, and Gnarls Barkley at number 1.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for making Gnarls Barkley number 1.
That's right. That was a great record.
It is.
It's really a great record.
And it bubbled under the top 50, 12 or 15 for NPR listeners as well. Will Hermes on your list was Nico Case. And a reminder that Beck and Holsteady are neck and neck. Regina's in the dust. Nobody's out there listening from the Bronx. I'm convinced.
or Russia. I mean, come on, Moscow.
If I were to read you my list, you see. You would know that my third favorite record was the Regina Spektor record.
Well, bust your list out, record. Bob.
Joanna Newsom's at the bottom. I had number 9 as the Beatles record, which, I got a couple of weeks ago and was sure I was going to totally dislike this record.
Right.
And that was a pleasant surprise.
That was fun.
There are times where I want to swat things away like flies because they just get in the way. Because the music sounds so fantastic because the audio quality is so amazing. But then there's things that happen on the record that actually are bits of magic. So that was my number nine. Paul Simon, I thought the Simon and Eno collaboration was a wonderful collaboration. Tumani Diabate is my number seven. Number six was Lily Allen, whose record, it's not quite fair because the record hasn't come out in this country, but it's been out enough in England. It was a big record, really a whole lot of fun. Number five, Cat Power. Four, Jenny Lewis. Three, Regina Spektor. Two, The Decemberists. And one, M. Ward. If we have time, actually, could we play a little bit of Lily Allen for those who haven't heard Lily Allen yet?
Yeah, it is coming out in the States in a couple of months.
I'd like to hear Cheryl Tweedy, actually, which is the one that I can never stop singing. So let's give a listen to Lily Allen. That record. Well, that record comes out in January in the U.S., so I'd be curious to see how it does here. I think she'll do well, even with all the naughty words and stuff.
Yeah, it's a dirty record.
So let's get to it. Number two on the NPR Music Picks here on All Songs Considered, let's give a listen to Nico Case.
Everything's so easy for Polly. Everything's so easy for Polly. Ancient strings that feed a light speed to her such mild grace. The monument of tacky gold, they smooth her hair the cinnamon way. And they placed an ingot in her breast to burn cool and collect it. Firm in its cradle, and then rolls of her tender paws to save her. Everything's so easy for Polly. Girl with the parking lot eyes, Margaret is the fragments of a name. Her bravery is mistaken for the thrashing whose picture was fake. Margaret is the fragments of a name. Her love pours like a fountain, her love steams like rage. Her jaw aches from wanting, and she's sick from chlorine, but she'll never be as clean. There's a cool side of satin poly.
Yep. It's a good reason why that's the number two record. That is a good record.
Her voice keeps getting better and better. And unlike some of the women artists, to separate women artists out, but it seems like there's a lot of putting themselves in these, you know, situations like, you know, let's go play with the guys from High Records. Nico just uses the same players, you know, the guys from Calexico, the guys from the Sadies, and just keeps making amazing music.
Although the piano player on that track and on a couple others is
Garth
Hudson of the band. Tinkling
away there's a little bit of that.
A little, just a little.
But it still sounds like her. You know, it sounds like more organic growth of an artist with her.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could overrule all of you and just
put Regina Spektor.
Just put Regina where she belongs on this list.
I'd be perfectly okay with that.
But let's give
that
a listen.
That would be very democratic.
This is a little cheerleading for Regina Spektor. We have Ties for a Whole Study and Beck. Let's play a little Regina Spektor before we get to our number one CD of the year.
Shook it up.
I never loved nobody fully. Always one foot on the ground. And by protecting my heart truly, I got lost in the sounds I hear in my mind. All of these voices I hear in my mind. All of these words I hear in my mind. All of this music, and it breaks my heart. And it breaks my heart. And it breaks my heart. When it breaks my heart.
Bless all the people in the chat room. The chat room is lighting up for Regina Spektor. If we start to add up our votes, Matt Martinez is our director today. And Matt, could you tell us what the votes are? Tell it to me and I will tell. He's on the other side of a fishbowl's worth of glass here.
And the pizzicato always
She is them. Ahead by one vote. We're going to cut the voting off in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Three more minutes, folks.
If you put on the Hold Steady's first night, I think.
Okay, we're going to play 30 seconds of each band for our number 10, which is tied, and then we're going to play the number one. Let's give a listen to some Hold Steady. Three-way tie for 10th. We can't seem to break the tie. The chat room, how many, Chantal, how many we got in for on the chat room that's lighting up?
We just got another four. And
four
I've been,
for who?
For Regina. One for Beck and one for Hold Steady. So I believe that puts Regina up by one.
No, I think
at this point.
Matt's keeping the count.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll let Matt keep the count. But if you want to join the chat room, now's the time, before we get to our number one song, because we're going to play some Beck. There's a link right on the page. Click it. It'll open your chat software. All songs live is a chat. And go and vote. It's either Regina Spektor for number 10, it's the Whole Steady for number 10, or it's Beck for 10. You tell us. But let's give a listen from the CD, The Information. Let's give a listen to Beck, and then we're going to cut this voting off, and we're going to have a number 10 record, I swear. And then we'll play you the number one record. Okay, here we go. Let's just go around real quick. John Richards at KEXP in Seattle. Could you just recap how you voted for that number 10 record?
I wanted the Beck.
Okay, and sticking with the Beck.
Right. I'm sticking with
it. just checking. And in New York City, sitting around the table there, Will Hermes.
Hold steady.
Hold steady. And Robert Christgau.
Hold steady.
And Meredith Hoeks.
Holding steady with the hold steady.
Okay, so where's our count now, Chantal? Votes are still coming in. Where are the votes?
We just got we should have done the show on the best.
I'm sorry?
The show should have been your favorite 10th record of the year.
Next year we'll do that.
That's right.
What's your 10th favorite record? I don't care about the other 9.
Regina's ahead.
What's 10 through 20?
Well, Chantal, how have we done?
Our producer just told us that we got just one more phone call in. So now, let's see, Regina's up by 4.
Looks like a winner. We have a winner.
And 8 total. I think we have a winner. I think Regina Spektor's a number 10 record.
A dark horse pulling ahead.
It is. I was cheering for her.
Pulled ahead.
I feel so deflated.
Pulled ahead.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you want to keep the vote? What would make you feel good, Robert? Keep the vote open until 6:30?
This is a Florida voting situation.
We can
just
do about it.
Bringing it to a conclusion.
The dummy phone calls are coming in.
You've got that
robocall thing really working for you, Bob.
Okay. The diehold representative is standing by.
Thank you, Kathleen Harris. We have our number one record. Of all of the records, got the most votes. It was a clear winner and one of the most interesting records, certainly of the year. Let's give a listen to Colin Molloy and the Decemberists.
And under the boughs unbowed, I'll clothe in a snowy shroud. She had no heart so hardened, all under the boughs unbowed.
Cue the Glockenspiels. We have a winner.
Ah, Glockenspiels.
Everybody happy about this? What
it's
do you think?
A
surprise?
I am. I'm a big fan of their earlier records. I think this was strong. It didn't have the high points for me that some of the other records did, like Red Right Ankle or 16 Military Wives, but it was a very good record.
You didn't think the Shankill Butchers?
Shankill Butchers is a pretty great song. Yeah.
You know, we're talking about going to see concerts and how it shouldn't affect how you hear records.
Yeah, yeah.
Once again, I went to see the concert. I'd been told he was a wonderful showman. That's absurd.
All it means
is that he actually acknowledges an audience that is used to artists completely ignoring them.
And does
the kind of cornball stuff that at a hip-hop concert would make everybody turn up, you know. One side sing this, the other side sing that. I mean, really.
But it was cornball in quotes because it was an indie rock show.
Right, exactly. So they
even
think
though he's on Captain.
But the real thing I noticed was that the music itself seemed completely grooveless to me. And I went home and I played the record and I waited for something dynamic or kinetic to happen in those songs, and they got worse for me.
because I was hearing, once again, I was hearing the music in a different way, forced to concentrate in a different way and stuff. I mean, I'd sort of like the tunes, and but I decided there was a flatness about the groove that I'm sorry, it just doesn't. That's not what I look for in music.
Well, let me just say that, that for those who want to hear the Decembrists live in concert, or Nico Case live in concert, or or Jenny Lewis live in concert, or Regina Spektor live in concert, they're all on our website, and you can be your own judge.
Promo.
It is. We've done all those artists this year. They've made it in our top 10. And
see if these critics know what they're talking about.
See if these guys know what they're talking about.
Or see if it changes the way you think about a record.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point that Robert
makes.
Thanks, Robert Christgau in New York, Will Hermes in New York, and Meredith Oakes.
It's been fun.
Another good year of music, I'd say. John Richards in Seattle, a pleasure meeting you.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. And,
thanks, John.
Appreciate it.
Let's try and do it again next year, Chantal.
Absolutely.
Thanks for all those. A final recap on the vote, anybody? No?
What do you mean?
I'm number 10. Talking
10, yeah. 10 Spektor, 9 Waits, I've written it down, 8 Lewis, 7 Cat Power, 6 Newsom, 5 TV on the Radio, 4 Ward, 3 Dylan, 2 Case, 1 Decembrists. I wrote it all down.
I vote him for secretary.
And for 10th, it does look like Bob has been able to rally the troops up against for Regina Spektor. As one of our listener, Barbara, writes in to comment on Spektor's particular sound, saying, Regina sounds like Regina. Her voice is unmistakable, gorgeous, lithe, and far from timid. Her songs are richly textured with unexpected yet accessible arrangements, and a variety of moods begs for repeat listens.
And Robert, have you seen her? Because she sings to an audience of 1,000 people, and you swear she's singing for you.
I'd love to see her, but
you got her.
I like the record. I like the record.
Thanks, everybody. From NPR Music, we'll post all of these songs online. The list will be online. We'll also have our critics' picks and lists, more music to listen to for the best of the year. Thanks very much, and it's been a pleasure.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Borders, presenting books, music, and movie gift ideas from the Gift Squad. Details at BordersGifts.com.